Do we not say well that thou hast a devil? I have not a devil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was a holy old priest performing an exorcism, but the devil told him he would not leave the possessed soul until he answered him a question. What do the goats and the lambs of Christ's parable about the last judgment mean? And in his humility, the priest quickly answered, "The goats are all those like me. What the lambs may resemble, God knows." And at these words, the devil cried out, "Through your humility, I can no longer remain here." And he fled. Now that priest, who was holy enough to cast out demons, told the truth that he was a sinful old goat. Humility is truth. The devil, who is the father of lies, cannot bear that kind of truth. Today our Lord hides himself from the stones of the Jews. It is not yet his time. In your life, our Lord will sometimes hide himself and other times reveal himself to you most clearly, varying his strategy, as it were, for the salvation, the sanctification of your soul. Now the devil is the ape of God. He too varies his strategy, but for the damnation of your soul. Several people have asked me this month why it is that Mexico seems to have so much in the way of diabolic possession, exorcism, and we in the United States, hardly any at all. Well, as they say in school, that's a very good question. And today I want to answer it with the third in this little series. We spoke of the devil and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She crushes him. The devil and the Sacred Heart. He gives us strong, strong promises against him. And today we might well call the sermon, "Where the devil is he? Where is the devil?" You see, the devil has two strategies. His main strategy he uses for Main Street, USA. That is to say, the devil? You must be kidding. Why, that's a figment of medieval imagination, of their mindset. You don't really believe in angels and devils. His greatest victory is achieved by persuading the majority of men he does not exist. And after his virtual destruction of the church, after Vatican II, Catholics too fall sadly into this deluded category. The way the Catechism phrases it is something most people would deny. That there is an active army of evil spirits constantly striving by their attacks to kill the life of grace in our souls. The devil has a side strategy whereby he strokes his pride, which was, after all, the cause of Lucifer's downfall. He inspires in this country a certain hidden, thus occult, worship or invocation of him, black magic and the rest of it. And this he does quite openly in that other country, Mexico, where the devil is worshipped publicly as La Muerte, death, skeleton, candles, flowers, ceremonies, the whole 9 yards of his adoration down there. Now, that death is quite different from the character, which we'll speak to us this afternoon. death is a servant of God, but the devil is a liar and a thief. And every day in Mexico, people are calling upon the devil to cast spells. Remember, there are different kinds of color candles for different spells, three chiefly for money, for love, and for revenge. The devil thrives openly in Mexico because you see the soil of that society is so permeated still with a sense of the supernatural that he can seed his own worship there in the place of God's. The country is still culturally Catholic. There are statues, Our Lady of Guadalupe, everywhere. The calendar with the feast days, the fiestas of the church, everywhere. Now, it is true, the majority of Mexicans are ignorant of their faith and are living in the state of mortal sin and are given over to every kind of superstition. But remember, superstition is an excess of faith. Having too much faith or the wrong kind of faith. Ours is the opposite kind of problem. People south of the border, in a word, have the basic idea of things. They grew up with it everywhere, with a Catholic, the supernatural order or outlook on things. We, on the other hand, grew up in a non-Catholic world with naturalism everywhere. So when the devil seems to strike imagination or actually to take over a soul, our first thought is, I must just be thinking that. Or, poor so-and-so, we better get him to the doctor. Whereas in Mexico, they don't think of the doctor, they think of Dr. Jesus. Better get so-and-so to a priest. Do you see the difference? Mexico is the devil's battleground. I almost want to say his playground. One Masonic president of that country, dictator, famously said, poor Mexico, so far from God and so close to the United States. And you know that's true. If it's true that they export drugs on up north, we use that same pipeline to export our filth down south. Music and TV shows and movies and fashions. What a heartbreaker it is to see in these isolated little villages in Mexico, women, girls who just a few years ago were still modestly dressed for church in the shawl. And remember, there's sort of a herringbone pattern to the shawl. Each tribe has its own, a bit like the Scottish tartan. And they've given that up for some indecent t-shirt. Our masonry, too, has been already since the 19th century exported to Mexico. The American ambassador, Poinsett, introduced the Scottish Rite lodges to that country. They are the most virulently anti-Catholic of Masons. Poinsett himself was responsible for tremendous anti-Catholic mischief on the part of America in Mexico. He was a botanist on the side, you know, that was his hobby. And that's why we named the beautiful red plant of Christmas after him. But in Mexico, they call it by its real name, Nochebuena, the flower of the good night, they call the poinsettia. Mexico is the devil's battleground. Within one generation of its discovery by the Catholic Spanish, the Mother of God appeared there. And she appeared at Tepeyac, Our Lady of Guadalupe, in such a way so that the Indians coming and seeing her picture could read the symbolism that she was the Queen of Heaven. This princess was expectant with a child, and that she crushes the serpent. And Our Lady, by this means, converted millions of Mexicans in one generation. It is the devil's battleground between the world wars in the last century, with the collusion of our country's leadership and the shameful silence of most of our bishops. There was a bitter persecution of the Catholic Church in Mexico. There were many martyrs of the laity, of religious, priests, bishops. Churches were closed entirely for several years. But this also saw the rise of a wonderful lay movement called the Cristeros, the Army of Christ the King. And they fought politically and militarily with arms to defend the church, to fight the communists and the Masons. Eventually, they disbanded, although they had been very successful, out of obedience to the hierarchy. Some say they were betrayed by the bishops. And in any case, when they surrendered, many were slaughtered. But that's the wonderful legacy they have down there. Mexico is the battlefield in a way that our country never has been. Last of all, consider that the question of the Indians or the indigenous peoples. We, the Protestants in this country, managed pretty much to kill off most of the native population, one way and another. That was never done in Mexico. There are entire villages, millions, who still speak the old original languages of Nahuatl or Chinanteco. And many of these people still worship their old pagan gods. That is to say, they worship demons. All of the gods of the Gentiles are devils, the Psalms tell us. You see, throughout the centuries when the church was strong, it was still a struggle for the missionaries to get the Indians to leave their superstitions and to be good Catholics. They barely managed to. But now that the church is out of the picture for so long, schools have been closed since the 19th century, except for the very wealthy. The religious orders were driven out. For so long, there were no Franciscans or Dominicans. Very little in the way of Catholic education is given to the average child. And, of course, since the changes, everything has fallen apart. There's no true Mass anymore, which alone drives off demons. And so many of the new priests are invalid, of course. And even it seems that the best of the priests, those who are valid priests with the true Mass, are awfully motivated by money. It's hard for us to understand an entire country which is so dominated by poverty, what a difference that makes in everyone's life. So it seems the devil just takes over. Who is there to oppose him? Even the good are compromised and the bad have no one to oppose them. The devil is active everywhere. He's in our country. He hides himself behind the word myth, and he hides God. The devil has made of religion in our land either a cold, rational affair for Sunday morning only, or sloppy sentiment, feelings, and nothing else. Heresy abounds. The faith is forgotten, and the charity of most has grown cold. South of the border, the devil openly thrives. How can we in the cold north, how can we protect ourselves from this hidden foe? Remember the promises of the Sacred Heart, a devotion to him, his image in our homes, the practice of the first Fridays, and all of the rest. He will keep his promises. Remember the weapons we Catholics possess, the sign of the cross, and the little one you can make with your index and your index finger and your thumb. The holy names, Jesus and Mary. Holy water, duly exorcised and blessed at this church. The St. Benedict medal, which has an exorcism attached to it. The rosary. I published in the bulletin today three little exorcisms, two from the saints, two of which are sort of a little rhyme, so they're easy to memorize. I think they would make a good daily prayer, or at least to get out and pray when you think that old Scratch is busy in our midst. One of the hermits of ancient Egypt, St. Macarius, was returning to his cell when he ran into the devil with a great scythe in his hand, the devil intending to cut this monk into pieces. But he couldn't. As soon as he drew near, he lost his strength. And full of rage, the devil cried out, "I suffer great misery from you, Macarius." Then he grew philosophical, as demons do, and he said, "You know, it's strange. I do everything you do and more. You fast for days at a time. I never eat. You only sleep for a few hours a night. I never sleep. You are chaste, and so am I. Only in one thing do you surpass me. Well, what is that? Said Macarius. It is your great humility. And saying this, he disappeared to be seen no more. St. Vincent de Paul says that humility is the most powerful weapon to conquer the devil. He can neither use this weapon, nor can he defend himself against it. Now, how on earth are you and I, monsters of pride that we are, ever going to be humble, if not as a result of the promise of getting the gift from the Sacred Heart? We need to honor him more and more, to study the Sacred Heart. Not a pen, just a glance, a passing glance, but to gaze upon him intently, as we see him in the Holy Gospels, as we see him in the tabernacle of the altar, as we see him in some beautiful picture in our home of the Sacred Heart. He who alone of us has no devil. And why? For I am meek and humble of heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.